I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, President Mahama inaugurates largest solar power plant in sub-Saharan Africa at Navrongo. Supreme Court orders reconciliation of pink sheet tally in presidential election petition. Stakeholders in tertiary education ask government to increase budget for the sector. Influx of substandard drugs blamed for worsening spread of tuberculosis. And Iraq rejects withdrawal of PKK fighters from Turkey into its territory. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The first solar power plant has been inaugurated in Navrongo in the Upper East region. The 2-megawatt solar plant is the largest in sub-Saharan Africa. President Mahama, who performed the inauguration, invited the private sector to venture into electricity generation and distribution. The Supreme Court has appointed KPMG, an international accounting firm, to count the number of polling station pink sheets exhibited by the petitioners in the ongoing election petition hearing. This follows an application by lead counsel for the NDC, Chacha Chikata, after a disagreement with Dr. Baumia over the number of pink sheets. The presiding judge, Justice Atuguba, said the exercise should take into account the polling stations involved, names, code numbers, and exhibit number, if any. Health experts have decried the influx of substandard drugs, especially those relating to HIV and AIDS, TB, and malaria on the African market. At a workshop in Accra, aimed at offering technical assistance for manufacturers of second-line TB medicine, Vice President of the Global Health Impact Program, Dr. Patrick Lukule, said the rate at which TB is having a toll on Africa is alarming and must be tackled. And Iraq says it will not accept the entry of Kurdish PKK fighters into its territories. The statement comes a day after fighters of the Kurdish Workers' Party, PKK, started withdrawal from Turkey into their stronghold in northern Iraq. Iraq officials believe their entry may undermine security and stability in Iraq.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has invited private sector investment in electricity generation and distribution. He says government alone cannot raise the capital investment needed to provide the energy needs of the country. The president was inaugurating the first solar power plant at Navrongo in the Upper East region. The 2-megawatt solar plant is the largest in sub-Saharan Africa. The Volta River Authority hopes to expand the plants by adding 500 kilowatts to attain 2.5 megawatts by next month. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
The 2-megawatt solar power plant began in March last year at a cost of $8 million, constructed by the Volta River Authority. The modest move signifies the commitment to diversify energy from hydro to thermal sources. Kungu, south of Navrongo, was chosen to host the solar plant because it records the highest sunshine in the country. The plant employs 15 workers from the local community to provide security and other services. The VRA says it is currently processing accessing a grant of 22.8 million euros to enable it to add another 12 megawatts of solar power at Kalio and Lora in the Upper West region, as well as Bongo in the Upper West region. President Mahama, who stated in his State of the Nation address that the country is progressing steadily in the area of renewable energy, sees the 2 megawatt solar plant as modest but very significant.
We are setting in place, in motion, the first initiative of what will eventually become a major source of future energy supply in our country, Ghana. This solar plant we are commissioning is the beginning of a new era in Ghana's energy exploration. It marks the first feeding of renewable energy into our national transmission grid. It is a 2 megawatt plant, but as a pilot, it has opened the gateway for us to feed in hundreds more megawatts of renewable energy into the grid.
President Mahama also stated that if the country wants to enjoy reliable power supply, citizens must be prepared to pay realistic tariffs. He noted that electricity supply has become expensive because it is being generated now with light crude oil, which is expensive as compared to gas. President Mahama touched on attitudes that impact negatively on energy supply, like illegal connections and wastage.
If we want reliable power, then as a people we must be prepared to pay for it. And so that is one of the issues that we need to consider. Our power tariffs have remained at a certain level for the last several years. And the problem that we face is that at the time that those tariffs were set, we were using gas to generate the power. Gas is much, much, much cheaper than light crude oil. And you know what the price of crude oil on the international market is. And so it is a decision we have to make.
The chief executive of the VRA, Kweku Andrawotri, said the authority has plans to diversify into wind and biomass sources of power.
Ghana experiences wind speeds of between 6 to 8 meters per second, which is considered average or medium. But the increasing sophistication of wind technologies means that VRA and Ghana as a whole can harness these medium wind speeds to generate significant amounts of power. And our expectation is that the construction of Ghana's very first wind farms will commence sometime late next year and take about 24 months to complete.
Government has begun distribution of more than 10,000 solar lamps to some deprived communities and schools.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting.
Meanwhile, President Mahama says government will continue to distribute solar lamps and solar home systems to off-grid communities to stop completely the use of kerosene for light. He said the move is to forestall the nefarious activities of some people who mix kerosene with diesel and sell to unsuspecting customers because kerosene has been subsidized.
In any case, those who need the kerosene don't get it. Because what people do is they buy the kerosene and they mix it with diesel and just make a huge profit for themselves. And that is because government is very greatly subsidizing the price of kerosene. And so our intention in the future is to provide solar-powered lanterns to communities that are off-grid and reduce or completely stop the use of kerosene as a source of lighting. And when we have done this, we'll increase the price of kerosene to be at par with that of diesel so that it creates no incentive for people to mix kerosene into diesel. In any case, with that practice, they are spoiling the engines of a lot of vehicles.
President John Mahama.
The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Ama Kufibua, says the launch of the Navrongo solar plant is a clear opportunity for the country to increase renewable energy resources. Speaking on Behind the News, the Energy Minister said the implementation of an effective framework is, however, required to ensure that the project lasts long to the benefit of the people of Ghana. Mr. Bua spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
When we talk about renewable sources, especially solar, we are also talking about using it not only in educational institutions, but in health institutions. Using, for example, solar refrigeration, lighting, operating communication equipment in remote villages that would not have access to the national grid. And these are steps that we've taken. Already over 80 districts are benefiting. We have clear evidence that schools in very remote villages that have had access to solar and are able to use these solar panels have had clear improvement in educational score. And so we will continue to make sure that renewable sources of energy are real, real significant in our energy mix going
forward. Right, sir. But then let's revisit the issue of affordability. How is the government going to make solar energy affordable to the ordinary Ghanaian?
I think that the first thing that has to be done is what we've done, making sure there's a legal framework, making sure there's a framework in place to allow the growth of this sector. Renewable Energy Act calls for the passage, for example, of a renewable energy fund. This fund is going to help support the initial investment by individual private companies. It is going to help support this initial investment. It is also going to encourage and open a lot of opportunity for international support. But more importantly, there's clear incentive, tax breaks for a lot of people who assemble all of these renewable solar panels and others in Ghana. There's so much incentives. I talked about real estate developers who are going to have so much advantage and tax break. All of this cumulatively will help the initial cost bringing about solar. But we think it's a clear opportunity. We think our country has taken a very historic step. It is the first step again in the sub-region, and we are very determined to be leaders when it comes to renewable sources of energy in West.
Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua.
Deputy Director of the Institute of Social Statistics and Economic Research, Professor Felix Asante, has commended government for taking up the initiative to start a Navrongo solar plant to augment energy supply. He said it is a step in the right direction, even though it is long overdue. Mr. Asante thinks a replication of the plant in other regions is a good idea, but warns that it must be done with care, taking into consideration a maintenance plan.
The country has abundance of solar energy, that is true. I think what next is how to make maximum use of it.
What is your assessment of the government's initiative to build solar plants at Navrongo to improve our energy supply?
I think it is long overdue and is in the right direction. We should have started thinking of an alternative source long ago. So even though it's late, it's come at the right time.
And so would you call for a replication of it all over the country?
Yes, replication, but we'll be cautious in the replication because it is so expensive to set up this solar system. With this culture of maintenance that we have in Ghana, if we keep on setting it up and we don't plan a maintenance regime, they're all going to break down. So we should go slowly. It's a good idea and build in the maintenance of the solar panels and the battery, which is very, very important.
So let's look at the issue of public-private partnership. Do you think it is the answer? And then in what ways can we make solar energy affordable to Ghanaians?
Public-private partnership is the way forward because we need to run it as a business. We need to pay the right amount for the use of the energy so that it can be reinvested and the system maintained. So public-private partnership is the way. But government cannot just foot this bill and then leave it to consumers to use at a reduced cost.
Deputy Director of the Institute of Social Statistics and Economic Research, Professor Felix Asante.
Away from energy, the country's security chiefs will today hold a high-level meeting to review the security situation and take decisions intended to improve the safety and security of the citizenry. The meeting will take place at the Flagstaff House. In attendance will be the Chief of Defence Staff and his service commanders, the Inspector General of Police, the Director General of the Ghana Prison Service, the Director of Immigration and the Chief Fire Officer. The Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, and the National Security Coordinator, Lieutenant Colonel Larry Bevlolate, will also be present. The meeting is taking place in the wake of what the police say is a relatively secure period with a reduction in crime rates. There has, however, been a number of happenings, including the recent broad day murder of persons in Kumasi and Obuasi, invasion of communities by illegal miners, and fire outbreaks. Today's high-level security review meeting will tackle the various developments on the security front and any potential threats.
Government has challenged investors to view the country's infrastructural deficits as critical investment opportunities. The Vice President, Pakwesi, Mr. Arthur, made the call when he met the Executive Vice President of the Al-Qahtani Group, Mr. Salah Al-Qahtani, on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Cape Town, South Africa. The Al-Qahtani Group is one of the largest investment firms in Saudi Arabia, with specialty in oil and gas, construction of refineries, farming and agro-processing, steel and chemical production, among others. Mr. Misa Arthur, in a discussion with the group, pointed out that energy and agriculture remain critical for the Ghanaian economy. He therefore urged the Al-Qahtani Group to explore the various opportunities available in the country.
You know that we have found some gas deposits offshore. There are two substantial finds, and we're looking at possibilities for transporting the gas and for processing some of it and for generating electricity. But in terms of infrastructure, many areas where the growth of the economy is impeded because we don't have adequate infrastructure. And we are finding that constraint, especially in the western region, which is the area where we found the oil and the gas, and with the large movements of population and of companies that are going there that require world-class infrastructure in terms of the quality of the electricity supply, of the water, and other things, road network, and so on. These are all areas to support. And in these areas also, there are ways in which the private company that wants to invest in there can recover its money. We're willing to discuss with you some of the, especially the areas in agriculture, because agriculture is important. There are two important things that have happened. We are getting a lot of population moving to urban areas. Our country is getting increasingly urbanized, and we're getting also agriculture productivity. So agriculture is becoming more productive, and therefore they don't require as much labor, and the labor is moving to urban centers which don't have the jobs for them. So we need to expand agriculture in order to keep labor employed and also to minimize the extent to which they are burdening the urban areas.
For his part, Executive Vice President of the Al-Qahtani Group, Mr. Salal Al-Qahtani, and his officers said their company was desirous of commencing its operations in Ghana very soon.
The Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, has announced that the ongoing revision of the Export Development and Agricultural Investment Fund, EDAIF law, will be ready for implementation by January next year. The revised law, he noted, will enable EDAIF not only to provide financial resources for development and promotion of the export trade, but will also concentrate on manufacturing industries. This will help solve the unemployment problem the country is currently facing. Mr. Idrisu disclosed this when he interacted with staff of EDAIF and National Board for Small-Scale Industries in Accra. He also directed that EDAIF establish offices in all the regions by the end of this year to ensure accessibility. We bring you this report by Victoria Ahaji.
EDAIF was established by Act 582 in 2000 to provide financial resources for the development and promotion of the export trade. The Act was amended in 2011 to include a provision of financial resources for the development and promotion of agriculture relating to agro-processing and agro-development. The Minister for Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, noted that the time has come for EDAIF to consider helping manufacturing industries. He believes if this is done, people who want to start businesses can seek support from EDAIF. Mr. Idrisu said with the revised law, there will be a strong relationship between the private and the public sector, thereby creating an enabling environment for businesses. He outlined some expectation of the revised law.
A future revised EDAIF must provide a stimulus package that encourages and facilitates agricultural production, enhances exports, and builds a viable manufacturing sector with capacity to export. We expect that a future revised EDIF will provide an opportunity under the legislation for EDIF to reach out to start-up businesses and to small, medium enterprises in Ghana. So we expect that we would also strengthen the relationship under our newly approved export development strategy.
The chairman of the EDIF board, Francis Dodu, welcomed the decision to revise the EDIF law and hoped it will go a long way to enhance the operations. Earlier, the minister visited the National Board for Small-Scale Industries, where he interacted with the staff. The chief executive director of NBSSI, Lukman Abdulrahim, complained of lack of resources, which makes it impossible for the board to make impact on the small and medium enterprises. Mr. Idrisu, after ensuring them of government support, said government will engage stakeholders to develop an SMES policy to guide activities of small-scale industries. He also announced that the NBSSI is going to be restructured by the end of the year.
As part of the restructuring of the NBSSI, government will position the NBSSI through capacity building and provision of adequate financing for the NBSSI to lead the government's new small-scale district industrialization initiative, which is intended to provide at least one viable industrial activity in each of the district assemblies of Ghana across the country.
Mr. Idrisu directed the executive director to create offices in all the districts.
The report was filed by Victoria Haji. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: President Mahama inaugurates largest solar power plant in sub-Saharan Africa at Navrongo. Supreme Court orders reconciliation of pink sheet tally in presidential election petition. Stakeholders in tertiary education ask government to increase budget for the sector. Influx of substandard drugs blamed for worsening spread of tuberculosis. And Iraq rejects withdrawal of PKK fighters from Turkey into its territory.
And the news continues. A suggestion has come out that government contributes about 70% cost of tertiary education, while students, industry and academic institutions bear 10% each. This is the view of a system analyst at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, Frederick Asian. He said the current situation where government pays only 49% actual revenue annually should be reviewed. The program is organized by the National Council for Tertiary Education, dubbed Repositioning Tertiary Education for National Development. Yaya Kwamu has filed this report.
Funding of tertiary education poses a big challenge to government and parents. A system analyst at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, Frederick Asian, said a research conducted in 2010 indicates that the cost of tertiary education to each student was 8,000 Ghana cedis, while the total amount of money spent on each student was 3,000 Ghana cedis. He said funding tertiary education is a collective effort between parents and the government.
From the analysis that we did, we realized that as of 2010, cost per student for a university was around 8,000. Plus, the funds going to the university was around 3,000. So the universities were getting 40% out of how much they need. So we realized that funding of tertiary education is all-inclusive sort of thing. It's not supposed to be just by the government. So the analysis showed that the government has to do its part by at least providing a 65% of the cost of funding.
Mr. Asian emphasized the need to expand the student's loan scheme to ensure that students who do not have money to foot the cost of tertiary education can access the loan.
The student loan trust fund should be well established and controlled so that those people who are coming from poor backgrounds who cannot afford can access the loan and use it to pay whatever they are supposed to pay and pay the loan when they are working. But we need to make sure that the inputs that are going to the students are okay so that we can get quality students so that they can get employment immediately after work.
A lecturer at the University of London, Professor Michael Shattuck, said the key role of the government and the universities and polytechnics is to ensure effective management of resources. This, he said, will promote accountability.
Yaya Kwamwa filed that report.
The Supreme Court has ordered an immediate count of the number of polling station pink sheets exhibited by the petitioners challenging the 2012 presidential election results. This follows an application by lead counsel for the NDC, Chachuchi Kata, after a disagreement with Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia over the total number of the pink sheets. While Dr. Bawumia insisted that 11,842 polling station pink sheets have been exhibited, Mr. Chikata and the other respondents have maintained that the number is far less than that. The count is to be done by an international accounting firm, KPMG, with two representatives from all the parties present. Here is a report by Bubu Klinogo and George Asekri.
The respondents have for a long time, even before the beginning of the cross-examination, insisted that the pink sheet before the court do not add up to the 11,842, as stated in the affidavit of petitioners and reiterated by their principal witness, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. It will be recalled that lead counsel for the president, Tony Lita, during his cross-examination applied for a similar count, but the court deferred it. during the course of Mr. Chikate's course examination, he has always maintained that the pink sheets are not up to the 11,842 any time Dr. Baomia made reference to that figure. It came as no surprise that he eventually applied for the count, arguing that it will go a long way to determine the credibility of the witness. His application was supported by the counsel for the other respondent. For his part, lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, argued that the application is belated, saying the respondent could have complained earlier. He asked Mr. Chikata to tell the court the number of pink sheets he has, which Mr. Chikata declined. Counsel for the president, Tony Litter, however, replied that the number is contained in the affidavit deposed to Mr. Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, General Secretary of the NDC.
If we count the exhibits that you've identified in those, according to you, we will have 11,000 and how many exhibits, according to you? Can you tell us?
I think we should have about 11,842. I've not really done the counting individually in there, but that's what we should really have.
So your point is that as at the time you deposed to this affidavit, and in terms of the exhibits that you personally acknowledged and attached to your affidavit, we should be expecting 11,842 polling station pink sheets.
Yes, my lord, as contained in the Federal and Better Particulars. Yes.
It's not 11,842, I'm certain about that. That's why I put it to him. But my lord, respectfully, I have a reason for not giving the number at this point. The credibility of the witness is at stake. If the witness says that he exhibited and attached 11,842 polling station pink sheets, and we count, and it doesn't come to that, respectfully, that is a huge issue about credibility. I respectfully apply to your lordships at this stage that in order to address this matter effectively and in a manner that will be in the interest of justice, we have two counts. One, simply an addition of all the exhibits that he himself has identified as having attached to his affidavit. The second count, respectfully, is of the exhibits that were received by the registry.
After a long break spanning well over 3 hours, the court ruled that a count be done by an international accounting firm, KPMG, forthwith. Spokesperson for the respondent, Nana Atodazi, said the outcome of the count could have serious implications for the petitioners if it is established that the pink sheets are less than the 11,842.
It's very clear that we cannot finish this case without being to take an audit of the quantity of pink sheets, the substance of their complaint. KPMG, accounting firm, has now been appointed to do a verification. Basically, I believe they will put documents and pink sheets that the petition claim they've brought into a computer and the rest will flow. At the end of the day, they will bring the results back to the court. We have maintained all along that what they've supplied is nothing more than 8,000 something. Said that there's a short for 3,337 could be more. Consequences of that, if it turns out to be true that their figure is bloated with duplicates, a third or half, they lose immediately their case by that percentage.
Madam Gloria Kufu of the MPP legal team said the petitioners are certain of the number of pink sheets they submitted to the court.
This auditing came up sometime in the past when issue was raised again that we did not actually have the over 11,000. The court held a view at that time that they must have conducted some due diligence to have come to that decision, and it was wondered why they were not depending on that anymore and so declined to do that. Today when it came up, it became necessary to reconsider. They went into chamber and by consent of all the lead counsels that went in to represent the party, it has been decided that KPMG, an international accounting firm, be appointed as referee to count the number of pink sheets that the petitioners have lost with the registry, that the copies that are with the registry will be those that will be used for the count.
Will the outcome of the count have any impact on the substantive case?
Definitely it should have an effect because it's about numbers.
Sitting has since been adjourned to Monday.
Ugo Klinogo and George Asikri found that report.
The Vice President of the Global Health Impacts Program, Dr. Patrick Lukule, says the rate at which tuberculosis is having a toll in Africa is alarming and must be effectively tackled. He said what is worsening the situation is the influx of substandard drugs, especially those relating to HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria. The doctors The doctor was opening a two-day workshop in Accra aimed at offering technical assistance for manufacturers of second-line TB medicines. We bring you the details.
50 participants from Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya and Ethiopia are in the workshop looking at ways to promote quality medicines in developing countries. Dr. Lukule noted that the effects of substandard and counterfeit medicines are devastating and their impact is hardest felt in developing countries where resources to combat them are limited.
TB is one of the biggest threats that we face today because of the issue of drug-resistant tuberculosis. The medicines that were effective against tuberculosis, known as first-line TB medicines, are now ineffective against certain strains of tuberculosis parasites. So instead, now we have to resort to second-line drugs to treat multi-drug-resistant TB. This is becoming a growing problem, and we should all be concerned about it. Some of the drivers for this is quality of the TB medicines that are currently being used are precipitating resistance to TB, so we all have to work together to ensure we have good quality medicines and people with TB have access to medicines. Well, the workshop is geared towards helping manufacturers understand the WHO pre-qualification program so that they can subscribe to that program to make good quality medicines and allow them to sell beyond their country.
Currently, there are not enough WHO pre-qualified second-line TB medicines manufacturers or supply of products to treat patients with multi-drug resistant TB.
A news desk report.
On the foreign front, Iraq has rejected the withdrawal of Kurdish PKK fighters from Turkey into its territories to avoid the possibility of undermining security and stability in the country. The Iraqi government statement welcomes a peaceful settlement for the Kurdish issue in Turkey, but it does not accept the entry of such armed groups into Iraq's territories that could be used to undermine the security and stability of Iraq or in the neighboring countries. The statement came a day after fighters of the Kurdish Workers' Party, PKK, started withdrawal from Turkey into their stronghold in northern Iraq.
Now to the news and main points again. The first solar power plant has been inaugurated in Avrongo in the Upper East region. The 2-megawatt solar plant is the largest in sub-Saharan Africa. The Supreme Court has appointed KPMG, an international accounting firm, to count the number of polling station pink sheets exhibited by the petitioners in the ongoing election petition hearing. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Samuel Issa in Accra.